Well, good day.
It
Another fine week it is.
Yes, it is. It is. I'm glad that people don't look for us every Friday because we're never here every Friday. Today's Wednesday.
Well, I just prefer to think of it. We will broadcast on a day ending in a Y.
Hey, what a concept. I thought you were going to say we broadcast when we have something to say, as opposed to people who would do this all the time and say nothing. Clearly, we have important things to say. We save it up.
Right, and that's why we are legends in our own mind.
Exactly. Exactly. So what's on the news board here today?
Well, there sure seems to be an awful lot of things, and we kind of talked about it before, but all the over the last couple of weeks anyway, we seem to be asking questions and don't seem to be getting too many answers, and I kind of wonder if that's maybe where we should go today. What kind of questions would you really like to ask, but you're not supposed to?
You mean the forbidden questions?
You can't really say they're forbidden, well, at least at this point in time. We
Well,
don't
we'll
have
find out if YouTube kicks us off, it'll be forbidden.
we don't have the thought police yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
They're working on it. They're working on it. It could be we have to give this episode a name. Would this be the Don't Touch the Third Rail episode? Trying to think, there, or we can make it a G Germanish thing. It'd be the verboten episode.
Well, either or are pretty terminal things to have.
Well, I'm looking at our friends over at Border Hawk, and they have some interesting headlines in Europe. They've got the headline: Hungary thwarts over 2,000 illegal border crossings in 1 week, 1 weekend. Sorry, which is interesting. That's probably as many that would show up on a weekend at Roxton Road.
Well, it's darn close, I would think, but there's also a little further down too, Eagle Pass, and I'm not sure where Eagle Pass is, but 29,000 plus illegal crossings just for October for one place. Now, I don't know how many places they have down there where they can have illegal crossings. I'm pretty sure it's kind of like the porous border that we have coming north up here, but my gosh, 29,000, that's a small city.
If you consider that, according to the ICE DHS stats, they've had over 5 million entrance into the US since the Biden administration took over. And people have said a number of times that's the population of Ireland. I mean, that's not sustainable. I just
No,
really
no.
not sustainable.
Well, I guess in keeping with what we're thinking about in this episode, then I guess my question that I probably shouldn't ask is, who's running the immigration process in the United States, in Canada, in Europe?
Well,
Is it the sovereign nations, or is it, dare I say it, is it the woke generation out of the UN? I don't know.
oh, you mean what some people call the globalists?
Guess that would be,
Because in their mantra, there are no borders, not
Yeah.
they're unnecessary. And in a perfect world, I would agree with them. But we don't live in a perfect world.
No, I think that ended with Adam and Eve eating the apple, but I'm not sure.
That's right. There were snakes in the grass then, too. You got that, eh? The snake in the grass. That's pretty quick, eh? Who
Ooh,
says we
I've
don't
never had any
inject
coffee
humor?
this morning.
No, but I mean, let's face it, no one's being asked in any of these countries How do you think this should be running? I mean, if you have your, if you question the issue of sovereignty and managing migration, you run the risk of being ostracized at best and called all kinds of names at worst because you're daring to question the philosophy of managing millions of people moving back and forth around the world. Now, like I said, a perfect world, the border's open. Who cares? What border? There is no border, right? And that's what is the question that no one wants to talk about. I mean, if politicians run away from this thing like the plague. Maybe that's not even a very good analogy either, because they're happy with the plague. You get to lock everybody up.
Yeah, I don't know what a good analogy would be there either. I'm sure it'll come about 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, but
Yeah, well, I'm not getting up for that.
okay.
But seriously, that really is the third rail. Don't ask those questions. Name a country that's ever had a referendum on the whole issue of immigration. I mean, it's pretty clear that people go where their security, their economic livelihood, their future is better than where they're currently at. And that's an easy one to discuss. The question is, at what point does that largesse, impact so negatively on the people who might even be positive on the idea? That's really the thing that nobody wants to talk about. No one wants to talk about the minutiae of this. They focus on the border, and they focus on the sending countries' problems, but they don't like that really. They never talk about the receiving countries' problems as a consequence of not paying attention to what's going on, or allowing it to balance itself. Immigration will balance itself.
Oh, where have I heard that before?
Well, that's a truism from the Canadian Prime Minister. Things balance themselves.
Well,
Allegedly. Allegedly.
not to sound like I'm supporting him or her or it or whatever he happens to identify as, but maybe we're not being farsighted enough on that. Maybe they all will balance out. But as you go back to this same question, if we have no borders and everybody can go willy-nilly, don't be upset if an undesirable person moves in next door to you. And maybe I'm being a bit negative there, because suppose he only has three axe murder convictions. It's not that bad.
I know, but you're picking the worst case scenario. Okay. And that's what you'll be told. This is what I'm saying about this discussion at, like, we're not doing a discussion at the academic level or at the political level. We're talking about, people sitting in their living rooms or in their or in their kitchen talking about how the world looks to them. And we could get into a deep discussion about statistics and the economy and how it impacts and all that stuff revolving around immigration and migration. But it's a human thing. And I think that in 2 weeks or less, the Americans will kind of have a referendum on it, on this whole business, because I'm sure that the fact that the border is open in the US is going to impact on how people vote in the midterms in the US. We'll have an interesting discussion the day after here.
No doubt, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you put faith in polls or you don't put faith in polls, and I guess it really depends on who's asking the questions and who's getting paid and who actually, I guess the answers come down to who bought the best lunch. But the proof is in the pudding, I guess they say. You get to a point and the Republicans happen to win more seats, or the Democrats happen to win more seats, then yeah, I guess that's the people speaking. Or pessimistically, at least the people who had enough interest to get out and vote are saying, maybe not what the general population itself says.
Well, it's interesting when you're looking at it from the perspective of the receiving country and how it impacts on them. And the US is a classic example right now, as is other parts of the world, particularly the UK and the area of the Mid. But you know what, the another area you're not supposed to ask too many questions right now is the war in Ukraine. And one that I think is peculiar is how the Ukrainians don't want war refugees to go back to Ukraine this winter because the sending country, here in this case Ukraine, which has already deposited 7.7 million of their citizens in various places across Europe, including Russia, because not all the Ukrainians are Ukrainians. A lot of the Ukrainians are actually Russian speakers, and those folks have headed east because they're getting bombed by their own people. So they're all running away quite legitimately from getting blown up. But the Ukrainian deputy prime minister has said that Ukrainian refugees shouldn't go back until the spring because they have, you know, a shortage of energy, you know, electricity and everything else. So it's better that you stay abroad and not, you know, come back when things are better and you're going, geez. Hope so, but that's not very encouraging for Ukrainians. And that whole business of how much this is costing the international community is having some blowback. And again, don't ask this question: where's all this money going? Who's getting all these? Well, it's one thing to be taking sides. Yeah, okay. You don't like Russians, fine. You don't like Ukrainians, fine. It doesn't matter. But there's all this billions of dollars. They toss around billions like it's you know, chump change at some you know, diner. But you know, the Ukrainian economy needs all, the amount of money is extraordinary. I mean, it needs 38 billion dollars next year just to cover their budget. Hey, wait a minute. Who's going to pay for that? They're already 100 billion in deficit. This is a country that doesn't function. Okay, yes, there's a war on, but they, you know, they don't make the materials. All that's being, you know, they're basically it's a proxy war that they're stuck with. You know, and you know, I feel really I'm saddened that the ordinary Ukrainians are getting hammered from the east and hammered from the west. They're kind of the sandwich here, the meat in the sandwich, because on the one hand they're getting all kinds of promises from NATO people: we're never going to let you down, but we're not going to step foot in there because, you know, we're not going to get killed by some Russian for you guys. I mean, they're willing to, you know, run this thing till the last Ukrainian is dead. In the meantime, the impact on the economy of Europe in particular, but also here in North America, is palpable.
Well, I guess another question that you aren't supposed to ask is, why are we giving away a lot of, in Canada in particular, a lot of our military hardware, and why are we funding, basically, why are we funding a foreign army when we treat our own veterans like crap?
Not supposed to ask that question, Bob. It's one of those verboten questions because, you know, it doesn't play into the narrative that the media likes to use, that phrase all the time about the narrative. Narrative is made by the folks who are in charge, you know, got voted in the various countries, including Canada. And frankly, you know, and we've had this conversation before, the seriousness of the leadership of the Western world sometimes is questionable.
That's true. Well, and I guess the other questions coming to my mind that you probably are not supposed to ask or shouldn't ask, or if you do ask, you're never going to get an answer to, is why are all our politicians, well, in the case of Mr. Sunak over in the UK, the headline says that he's richer than the royals. why do we have people with so much wealth running the countries?
Well, well, curious question, because people with that kind of wealth really don't feel the pain that their subjects do. And so I don't, I mean, his rise to the top of the political ladder is curious in and of itself, because this is a typical elitist kind of ascent to the top of the political ladder. And what's curious about this particular fellow's ascent is that, a month and a half ago he was a loser in a race. They didn't want him as a prime minister, and so everyone thought his career was done. And then here we are, 46, 47 days later, and the loser becomes the prime minister of a G7 country, and the third one in 5 months, frankly, So that's interesting in and of itself, where I guess it doesn't matter if you didn't make it the first time. By hook or by crook, you make it the next time. I mean, look, it's a shambles in the UK, looking from the outside in, and certainly for us to have so much crisis in a basically a major G7 country, because there's only two major G7 countries, three of them. It'd be Germany, the UK, and the US. The other four, including Canada, we're just there for the ride, frankly. But these three have strange leadership issues.
Well, yeah,
You
and I
got
guess out
you.
of fairness, Mr. Sunak, he followed, wasn't it, the great
Boris.
Scott, Robert the Bruce, watching the spider. The spider tried to build a web, and he threw himself across the room to build the web, and he failed. And he tried again, and he failed. After about the sixth or seventh time, he finally managed to get his string across, and so maybe that's all Mr. Sunak has done. Just. He's tried to run, he's tried to run, he's tried to run, and now he's made it. He's just
Yeah,
showing the
but
stick-to-itiveness.
he's certainly got an interesting pedigree, insofar as his political philosophy. He's big on climate change. At the same time, he's going to deal with the migration issue as effectively as the climate change. Now, one is esoteric, really, and the other one is wishful thinking.
Well, you can only hope that somewhere along the line, brighter heads will prevail. I don't know where they're going to come from, because 9 times out of 10, the people that could do the best job realize that they could do the best job, but don't want it.
Well, look, the guy doesn't need the money. So from that perspective, maybe he, I think we have to give him some slack, and see how he does, because we may all be blowing smoke here. He turns out to be a really good leader. We've already had lots of fancy, types with lots of pizzazz, and they've gone nowhere. So, I mean, if you look at Johnson may have been a great mayor of London, but he turned out to be a dud as far as the prime minister thing. I feel sorry for the Liz Truss. She was essentially thrown under the bus for a short time. She really is a sacrificial politician.
Well, we had that too, going back to what you had previously said with Mr. Mulroney before he was totally decimated in the next election. He kind of threw Kim Campbell under the bus too. And
Sure.
so, yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a soap opera that's going on over there. But then again, our American cousins, they have this election coming up. They have a decidedly weak president when it comes to the economy, when it comes to foreign affairs, when it comes to inspiring the world. He's got to be the least inspirational leader of the number one economy in the world. And then, I don't know if you saw the closure of the Chinese Communist Party had their, they crowned the
Mr. Z.
Mr. Xi for a third term, unprecedented. At the very end of that, they basically frog marched his predecessor out of the
Poland.
meeting, and basically no one knows where he's gone to. And there's a little of foreboding, I think, for folks about how Mr. Xi is going to be running things. And the unipolar world that the old fellow Biden tries to run is over. You've got some really hard-nosed types running the show now in the southern part of the globe. Outside of the Euro-Atlantic Alliance, you got the Africans don't care about what's going on in Europe. Asians don't care what's going on in Europe. The South Americans don't care what's going on in Europe. And they're basically, if they're not, they don't care. They're actually lining up with the Chinese and the Russians and the Indians and the Turks, interesting enough, which is, by the way, a NATO country, to kind of throw a wrench into that whole sort of unipolar world that is no longer unipolar. I mean, we're really going back, and that's going to have an impact on migration as well,
It will, yeah.
big time. We're very, very confusing, upside down world we're living in that way.
Well,
And
and I
again,
guess
don't talk about that, because
maybe that's the outcome or the upshot of this whole thing is that we'll be able to question these things and get answers. Keep our fingers crossed, but yeah.
well, it's clear that there's a movement towards getting more information, not just from the Reuters of the world, but from other sources. And it's fascinating. The Elon Musk travails at the moment with Twitter, I think, is interesting, where he apparently told the staff that he was going to send about 75% of them to the unemployment lines, and they had the audacity to write a letter. How dare you even talk? These people are so self-important and narcissistic. You can't fire us. The world will end if you fire us. And they had a list of demands. I won't, you can look it up on the internet, but I'm thinking, who are these creatures? Like self-entitled.
Yeah, well, I
You work for a company, you're telling the boss what to do.
well, and it goes back to the message that you had sent me before about the climate protesters that had glued their hands to the floor in the Volkswagen factory in Germany and had the audacity to think that, well, because we're in your facility, you're going to feed us and you're going to bring us portable toilets when we need to have our bodily function. And of course, you can't turn off the lights nor the heat because we glued our hands to the floor here. Somebody should be asking questions, whether they're right or wrong. Where does this end? I mean,
Well, it's ending. I think what's happening is that it's ending, and as we hurtle towards a cold, miserable winter, these sorts of antics are not going to be of any consequence to the folks who are going to try to figure out whether they're going to put gas in their car, food on the table, or how they're going to get to work. They're not, this is not going to be very. It doesn't. It's not going to impress them,
No.
but even less so than now. So no one's gonna lose sleep over the people fired at Twitter. No one's gonna be too upset about the dimwits that glued their hands to walls and floors.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see, we were talking about, sort of the changes in the G7. We've got this woman in Italy who's just been overwhelmingly elected, and he knows she's everything from Attila the Hun to some, fascist, whatever. She's not really done anything yet. She's really focusing on what to do for Italians, not what to do for Germans, not what to do for Americans, not what to do for Russians or anybody else. So, I think she's the first sort of change in the direction that the Western countries have faced. Apart from Turkey's leader Erdogan, who really doesn't give two dimes for what anybody else says. He's interested in what is good for Turkey, and maybe we're starting to get that way. And like I say, in 2 weeks we'll see if the Americans will think the same way about dealing with their issues at home. The last thing I was going to bring up for you is, by the way, if you're an investor class come to Canada and you put money into your visa, there's an article in the National Post today, Canadian national paper. It says this is the consensus by immigrant investors that Canada's behaving like a crook. Immigrant investors stuck in limbo despite putting down $1 million in payments. They have this impression that Canada is behaving like a crook. They take the money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they don't give them anything in return, i.e., an immigrant visa. So apparently, it takes about 5 years to get an immigrant visa now through our fabulously effective immigration machinery. So they're literally getting annoyed with the way it is being run. But I'm thinking, listen, the nightmare of the administration of services in Canada is post-COVID. We still have a 238,000 public servants working in their pajamas from home. So the bureaucracy is not really back. It still takes you 10 weeks to get a passport. They're unable to manage the most basic services these days. So I'm sorry for these people waiting 5 years, but they're basically the canary in the coal mine,
Yeah. Well, just to add my two cents to that, we've got a couple of grandchildren that born in the US. So we thought that we would apply for their Canadian citizenship for them.
Right, before they're 18, yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they changed the citizenship laws. They're Canadians anyway. We just wanted to get them a piece of paper to actually prove it. 17 months to issue a piece of paper.
Yeah, things are working just Jim Dandy here.
Well,
Well, of course, if you're busy at home running the government from your kitchen, you've got to cook meals, you got to go cut the grass, shovel the snow, and depending on time of the year.
well,
That's really pathetic. I'm sorry, there's no other way to describe that. 17 months. Come on. All this with all this technology we have, and it's all automated, they have all these records. And
and on top of it, I mean, I'm not a certainly not a citizenship expert, but the fact that you really don't need it, because all I have to do is produce a piece of paper to say, this is me and this is my parent and this is where my parent was born, at least for the first generation. Subsequent to that, they're kind of in a lot of trouble. But when you send all that documentation down to prove the lineage, what takes 17 months? I mean, I don't imagine there's a mountainous backlog of applications to prove people are Canadian citizens. I can't. Or if it is, then maybe they should be streamlining it. And again, is this one of those questions you don't ask? I don't know.
well, it's befuddling, best I can say. I have no other words. It is what it is, and we're living in that kind of an upside down world. Nothing gets done. Everything's hunky dory. Don't worry about it. Your check is in the mail.
Oh, and it's really immaterial because what's going on in the Ukraine is going to have an impact on that 17 months, no doubt. So,
No doubt. No Well, on that happy note, our time is almost up.
yeah.
So, listen, how are we doing on our drive for new members?
Well, I haven't noticed a big increase in our mailbox, but again, if you like what we're doing here, or you don't like, let us know. We're looking for members who are certainly who can provide additional input. We're happy to talk about just about anything, and whether you are supposed to ask those questions or not. And gosh, I think we're fairly inclusive.
We are. So if you're on YouTube, you have to click the button that says you subscribe and the button that says you liked it, and resend it to your friends, and we'll get more people tuning in. What are we looking for next week? Next, given that this is Wednesday. Halloween, the Halloween edition.
Oh, do we have to come in costume?
We could dress up as the unknown border crosser.
Maybe, yeah. I could.
Okay, we have to think of a Halloween themed broadcast.
Well, it won't be hard. It's got to be scary, and just about everything we deal with is scary, so.
Because we could do like Bobby Boris Pickett. I was working at the border late one night, and my eyes beheld nearly sight.
That's right. We can get Vlad the Impaler coming in. There's all
Sure,
kinds of
we could do a little. Could have a fun one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give that some thought. Maybe we'll have one of those fun episodes from Halloween,
Mean kind of like a skit
like a skit.
full of irony and parody.
Yeah, like what we're doing now.
Oh.
Right, well that's good.
All
Well,
righty.
then yeah, well let's do that. We'll tee it up for a Halloween edition of a scary border edition. Don't Wait a minute, that sounds like a Russian accent. I don't think we can do that, right?
We could do whatever we want. It's our
Yeah,
chat.
right. One of two things will happen.
That's right. And we hope it's the first.
All right, Bob, you take care.
You too.
I'll see you next Monday. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.